ending accountability. I'm Ben Swan with your Truth in Media Moment, sponsored in part by BenSwan.com. A recently released report by a special reporter on human rights calls upon the United States and other responsible governments to publicly investigate civilian deaths at the hands of unmanned aerial vehicles, also known as drones. The latest report by Ben Emerson examined 30 individual cases in which civilian harm, defined as death, injury, or instances where civilians were put at immediate risk, took place. The cases stem from reports in Afghanistan, Pakistan, Yemen, Somalia, and Gaza. Emerson's report focuses on legal issues surrounding the United States and allies and their decision to bomb sovereign nations in pursuit of terrorists. Specifically, the special reporter questions the legality of a state encroaching on territory of another country with the intent to kill a person. So what can be done? I'll tell you after this. The destruction of constitutional liberties and endless foreign wars. The voice of the people silenced while lawmakers simply enrich themselves and the political class. I'm Ben Swan. It isn't about left versus right. No, the real fight is liberty versus tyranny. At BenSwan.com, we are breaking the left-right paradigm. We know that the American two-party system is broken and that to restore American liberty means to restore your rights as an individual. At BenSwan.com, we cover stories the national media won't touch, from the National Defense Authorization Act to nullification, militarization of police, and crony capitalism. We are not afraid to stand up for the rights of the people. We are the face of new media. BenSwan.com, where humanity is greater than politics. A United Nations special report on drone strikes is calling for states involved in at least 30 strikes to publicly investigate and explain them. The special reporter also recommends that the states whose territories were under attack to provide as much information as possible. Ben Emerson's final recommendation is for the Human Rights Council to establish a panel of experts to examine the legal issues raised by drones and targeted killings. The report states that the governments who initiated the attacks are now legally obligated to explain the deaths. And that may be the biggest issue of all here. The fact that not only are sovereign nations being bombed into an oblivion, but the United States feels no reason to explain what they are doing. What is most disappointing is that it's the United Nations asking for explanation instead of the American people who are being forced to pay for a policy that is nothing less than barbaric. For stories that affect your liberty, you can find me online at BenSwan.com, where humanity is greater than politics.
At Griffin Industries, the concept of good is never good enough. Combining extreme fit, function, and appearance, the Griffin Industries weapons and ammo carrying systems have taken the industry standard and turned it upside down. With an organic manufacturing process, Griffin Industries ensures tolerance and quality control with no equal. Flat rate shipping and rapid turnaround gets this superlative product in your hands and on your belt in no time. Visit GriffinIndustries.com. Griffin Industries, the 21st century solution.
The IRS is a private corporation, not a government agency. Income tax is collected by voluntary compliance. To learn to unvolunteer or discontinue volunteering into the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com and immediately implement Strategy 1. The process must be repeated each and every time. Paper, letter, envelope, presentment, etc. Always and forever. Failure equates to acceptance, subsequent resultant contract, and you pay or go to jail by your own consent and agreement contract. Avoid recontracting. Visit escapeharassment.com and implement Strategy 1 immediately. Bar lawyers and accountants won't help you. Why wait? Get Strategy 1 and immediately implement it to divorce the IRS today and forever. That's escapeharassment.com, Strategy 1, to be free from the IRS. escapeharassment.com.
The government's Department of Homeland Security is buying up loads of ammo. At the same time, they're restricting civilians' rights to own and purchase firearms. Can you put two and two together? Infidel Body Armor can stop every round, including hollow points and 308 sniper rounds, is reasonably priced and fully legal. But for how long? Go to infidelbodyarmor.com, spelled I-N-F-I-D-E-L bodyarmor.com. Infidel Body Armor just won't quit.
Herbal Healer Academy presents its spring specials. All sizes of our 500 parts per million colloidal silver are on sale, along with products to help you lose weight, like apple cider vinegar, Hoodia, Metabolic Complex, and Pro Metabolic. That's not all. Anti-Parasite Intestinal Freedom, Wormwood Plus Complex, Stevia Liquid Sweetener, and the Super Enzymes are on sale. Visit HerbalHealer.com to order yours. Request our free 128-page catalog. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time. HerbalHealer.com.
Developed and made by U.S. Army Special Forces soldiers, Spartan Blades are the professional-grade combat utility knife. The preferred knives of those who go into harm's way, Spartan Blades endeavors to create knives that will last a lifetime and beyond. To find out more, go to SpartanBladesUSA.com. Whether you are a law enforcement professional, outdoorsman, or just appreciate craftsmanship and a cutting tool, Spartan Blades endeavors to make knives that will get the task done. Spartan Blades, knives with intent.
Shall not be in French. Shall not be in French. Shall not be in French.
Shall not be in French. From the nation's Second Amendment watchdog, anti-gunners, get ready for the pain. The misinformation is over because this is the blunt object. From Gun Owners of America, this is Lock and Load with Bill Frady. Bill Frady.
As we roll into the second hour on a Tuesday, this is Lock and Load. The number to get in, 1-800-313-9443. Let's go to the phones. Glenn in Philadelphia. Yes, sir.
Oh, good morning, Bill.
Morning.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Good. I was thinking about what you're saying about bars and restaurants and stuff like that. And that one thing I always think about is One talk radio show host who talks about how the Wild West wasn't as wild as we like to think it was, and like the gunfight at the OK Corral was notable because it was a relatively rare occurrence. And not to mention the fact we don't get the true story on that. But I had heard somewhere, and I hadn't been able to pull this up on the internet, but didn't, in terms of going into, you know, bars and restaurants, wasn't it like practice in the Wild West? Like, didn't people entering saloons have to check their weapons in some cases?
In some cases, when you entered the town, you had to check your weapons. I don't know the details of everything. During the Wild West era, the most violent place in the United States was the Tammany Hall District in New York. That's why you have the Sullivan Act in place today.
Right. Yeah, when you look at the per capita and all that sort of thing, you know.
Right.
Like the I looked at it online. I've seen that actually it was practice in Tombstone that people could have ride into town with their guns, but they had to check them with the sheriff at the Grand Hotel, and that one of the things involved with the shootout at the OK Corral, which supposedly didn't happen in the corral but rather an alley, involved someone who had been fined $25 for improperly carrying a gun or something like that.
The shootout at the OK Corral, what strikes me about the shootout at the OK Corral is, one, how close they were, and two, how more of them didn't die.
Right, right.
So.
And it even said that Wider and Doc Holliday were initially arrested for murder, but then later became the heroes. Interesting. But the restaurant thing is like, you talked about the backpedaling. It's like, it was for, irresponsible people. It's like, you've had people come in and, like, brandish their weapons or accidentally discharge them or something? I don't think so. You know, that was obviously fabricated.
Well, I mean, now to be sure, there are dumb people with guns. To be sure. They are the very slim minority of people that carry guns on a regular basis, because we've been found to be the most law-abiding of any citizen in the United States is a concealed carrier with a permit. But I just like the way they, you know, they put it out there. You know, guns and alcohol don't mix. Well, yeah, we knew that already. Thank you. Mm-hmm. As if to indicate that we're going to walk in there and just say, well, it's legal now. That'll be a shot of scotch. I'll take two beers to go. And Tom Collins. And, you know, that's not happening. They're ordering a Coke or water. I don't know why you would go to a bar if you're not going to drink, unless it's a bar restaurant, for example, where you might enjoy a meal and everything, and you can have a Coke or a cup of coffee or whatever you want to go with it, because it's a meal. But I don't frequent them anymore. I mean, that was in my youth, I did, but I don't anymore, so.
Gotcha. All right, I was just curious. I just that struck me about, you know, this is by no means a new topic, you know, and I just find it interesting. I see these various entities being harassed and politicized, you know, with this by, like, these, you know, the anti-gun groups, and it's like the restaurateurs don't really care about how, like, even in certain areas where the open carry is permitted, Walmart, like, welcomes the people, you know. For example, it's like if somebody open carried into a Walmart around here, they freak people out, you know.
Right.
But in areas where it's like, ho-hum, yep, just another, you know, person just happens to have a gun.
Just another day in the neighborhood.
Yep. All righty.
Thank you for calling in. Stay safe. A little while ago, maybe about a month ago or something, on Facebook, I met an active duty soldier down in Fort Jackson, South Carolina, which is a couple hours away from me. And I opened up a line of communication, and he has invited me to come and train with some of his colleagues. And these are all combat veterans. So for the first time since June of 1990, I'm going to have the opportunity to strap up, get on a military post, and learn this generation's version of what is known as fire and maneuver. Now, here's the thing about this. The oldest one of these kids that's going to teach me this generation of, or this method that I really want to learn from somebody that has firsthand skill and firsthand experience with it, the oldest one of them is 30. I turned 53 last year. So knowing that, I understood a couple, you know, even when I was in the military when I was 23, I understood that I was going to have to make certain allowances. I am not a runner. When I was in the third grade, I tore up every ligament in my left knee. It was preordained that I was never going to be a cardio athlete. So when I joined the Army, although I could pass the run part of the PT test, and your body does adapt when it's young, although it loses that adaptability as you get older. Although I did adapt and could do the run, I figured that I needed to do something to give myself a physical edge over anybody else I might deal with. So I got into lifting. And that worked. I still had good cardiovascular health because you can lift and elevate your heart rate and make yourself breathe hard and everything else. And I lifted every day for 6 years, except on the weekends. Got hurt a few times, because that happens when you're doing that kind of thing. Recovered, came back stronger. And then I got out of the military, and for a while I depressurized, say, 20 years. But now segue to here, where I'm 53 years old. And I have, in my mind, I have the capability to do everything they're going to show me how to do. It's getting the body to come along with it that's going to be the challenge. So I have started again, going back to the gym, with the full understanding that now it's just not the left knee, it's also the right knee and the left hip. And so I'm having to discover, I've never picked up a weight. I had given up working out because I kept getting hurt. And plus, I was getting into the radio thing, so the radio thing is somewhat all-consuming in its opening days. But now I'm at the point where I'm going to get to go train with these young kids that are just bad boys. And I want to be able to hold my own. So I have undertaken this journey. Now, I'm not able to do it the way I did it, and I'll explain that when we get back from the break. But, I mean, I'm having to adapt what used to be true for me to what is true for me now. Because I want to be effective. It's one thing to know technique. It's quite another thing to be able to execute it. And executing technique is what shooting and moving is all about. I do go take classes and everything, but now that I'm into it, I'm really enjoying it. But I'll explain the details to it, because this is important. This is an important part about being a gun carrier. I'm going to be able to do the Costa things, albeit not as fast as Chris Costa, because he's about 15 years younger than I am. But he's catching up to me. But I'm going to be able to do all the stuff that he's doing, because I've decided to go a little bit further than the average bear is going to have to go, simply because I have to do that in order to be able to execute this. We'll be right back on a Tuesday. This is Lock and Load.
Sport introduces the LVOA AR. This highly anticipated rifle is the embodiment of the low visibility operation concept. Made and designed in the USA, the LVOA combines mil-spec and specially designed features, bringing a flat shooting, extremely durable AR from concept to reality. To find out more, go to LVOA.us. War Sport, making function and reliability on an extreme level. This is only the beginning.
The IRS is a private corporation, not a government agency. Income tax is collected by voluntary compliance. To learn to unvolunteer or discontinue volunteering into the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com and immediately implement Strategy 1. The process must be repeated each and every time. Paper, letter, envelope, presentment, etc. Always and forever. Failure equates to acceptance, subsequent resultant contract, and you pay or go to jail by your own consent and agreement contract. Avoid recontracting. Visit escapeharassment.com and implement Strategy 1 immediately. Bar lawyers and accountants won't help you. Why wait? Get Strategy 1 and immediately implement it to divorce the IRS today and forever. That's escapeharassment.com, Strategy 1, to be free from the IRS. escapeharassment.com.
Modern patriots and operators choose the industry-leading number one patented piston system from Adams Arms. The Adams Arms rifle is the natural evolution of the original Stoner design. All of its strengths, none of the weaknesses. With a lifetime warranty and made in the USA, this life-coating processed AR-15 is available in numerous configurations only at Adams Arms. To order, visit the website at adamsarms.net. Adams Arms. Precision technology for the modern warrior.
This is Dr. Robert Rowan here to give you an important message regarding stem cell treatment. World-renowned physician, stem cell expert, and friend Dr. David Steinblatt has performed over 8,000 stem cell treatments since 2001. Bone marrow stem cells are completely legal to do here in the USA. The bone marrow stem cell treatment is not only fast, done in less than 2 to 3 hours, but is relatively pain-free and has little to no recovery time. Dr. David Steinblatt and his office are able to help and treat patients who suffer from cerebral palsy, traumatic brain injuries, stroke, macular degeneration, arthritis, Parkinson's disease, congestive heart failure, and more. Personally using their services for my knee and seeing great improvement, Dr. David Steinblatt is highly recommended by me. Go to stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 to find out more. Again, stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 today to receive more information.
Now, war pounding from the blunt object.
And welcome back on a Tuesday. This is Lock and Load, the number to get in, 1-800-313-9443. I was describing what I'm, I don't want to say putting myself through, okay? The sidebar to doing a radio show about guns and shooters and tactical training and everything is I get invited to go hang out and shoot guns and run around with tactical shooters. Now, most of them, I can look at them quite easily and go, son, because they're about my son's age. So in order, and quite honestly, let's see, I went to an airsoft event in 2012 with American Milsim. And I ran around with some kids that weren't 20 yet. And I kept up with them. The first night, I kept up with them the first night. We were training in an abandoned nuclear research facility that was 7 stories high, where the fighting was allowed to occur everywhere. And they were taking me around everything, and while they were doing it, they were practicing their movement, which meant they were sort of trotting as they went along. And that night at the motel, oh my God, did I pay for it. So, segue to now, where we're going to be using real guns with real ammo and everything, running around at Fort Jackson, South Carolina. I'm going to have to step it up. Now, what I've found is a couple of things. Even with my legs as bad as they were, with my knee bad, and that turned into both knees and then hip and everything else. Up till the time I was about 45, I was able to use my legs in a workout. Now, not so much so. So I've had to get away from doing resistance training, and now I'm just able to do stretching. And hopefully that will build up to enough elasticity to where maybe I can do some strength training with my legs. That and a whole bunch of glucosamine, chondroitin, and some Aleve, which is temporary fixing and masking of pain. But if I am gonna train with these kids and try to learn, I'm going to have to step up my game. So I'm having to adapt my training routine. My old training routine used to be purely about bulking up. Heavy weights. Medium degree of repetition, 6 to 8. Can't do that anymore. My shoulders won't take it. My elbows won't take it. My wrists won't take it. So now I have to go with lighter weight and more repetition, and I have to do it faster, and I have to do it with less, because I can't do the kind of cardio I need to do, like running or brisk walking or trotting or anything else. I have to do my weightlifting so fast and so hard with such a short break that I am elevating my heart rate that way. Having said that, I will still have to trot along behind these kids as they're going down range. So this is going to be something that's ongoing. And if you're interested in finding out what I'm doing, I'll be happy to share that with you. If you're not, I understand. That's no big deal. But I was going to say it was hard to pick it back up and start again. But I realized I had to. I'm a granddad now. I want to be around for my grandchildren for as long as I can. I want to be around to see the country go back to a constitutional form of government and everything else. That might take a while, so I'm going to have to take a little bit better care of myself. Might have to do a little bit of lifting here and there. Now, coming from a cop's viewpoint, the common ordinary street cop that's been on the job for a while understands when you feel uncomfortable when you look at an MRAP pulling up in the drive, in the parking lot of the Costco and deploying a bunch of police officers that look like they're with Blackwater. Most police officers in the modern era have carried a carbine and perhaps a plate carrier or some sort of armor in their trunk when they're on the street for those special occasions when they actually need it. There are times when they do have to kit up, legitimate times. But there are too many officers today that think that they are tactical operators and not police officers. A police officer is different from a tactical operator. One symptom of the police operator syndrome is to see a crime everywhere that requires... see something that requires an armed response every time. Every time some dog is using somebody's yard as a toilet, that's calling the MRAP. It's not a new thing, this syndrome, police operator syndrome. You know, the UN has had police for a while, and they think of they've been thinking of them themselves as operators since Kosovo 14 years ago. In that particular tactical unit that I'm discussing, they passed around a copy of Black Hawk Down, and within weeks they were all calling themselves operators. And with that title came a different hardened attitude. They weren't there to fight crime. They were operators, ready to fight a war. For the time being, police operator syndrome is probably here to stay. You can thank the war on drugs and the panic over terrorism for that. Within police departments around the country, it's often the subject of ridicule. Cops have always made fun of the guy who carries six magazines on his belt, two backup guns, and a combat knife on patrol. They really make fun of the operators who show up on scenes with more gear than most operators carry in Afghanistan and couldn't chase a suspect 50 feet before they tipped over because they're so top-heavy. The term operator is not something that everybody that wears the military uniform that straps all the stuff on earns. That is reserved for a very small number of people within the Spec Ops community. The Spec Ops community laughs, at the police officers who call themselves operators. For a soldier, whenever he comes off the post and he sees regular civilians wearing camouflage, you know, camouflage in an urban area sort of stands out, so hence it isn't camouflage. And I remember sitting around and looking at some of these guys and saying, why are you guys wearing all that stuff? Occasionally you will see a cop in public with a shemagh, the Arab scarf that, you know, that's basically screaming, I really want to look like a soldier. And the men, you know, the MRAP is, it's actually a dual-edged sword. It's they're bulky, they're slow, they're impractical. In the United States, in the urban setting, they're very probably not likely to ever be needed. But one thing that we see when you look online and on TV, way too many police officers seem to fall under a magical spell and think they have to dress and act like operators when their police department gets an MRAP. So maybe MRAPs are not only unnecessary, they also exert a sort of Vulcan mind meld with some police officers. We'll be right back. We'll continue with this on a Tuesday. This is Lock and Load.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com. Or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821. Or visit PureEffectFilters.com.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you own a gun? The attorneys and members of Texas Law Shield see every day how law-abiding citizens can become the victims of an anti-gun culture and a legal system that is designed to produce convictions rather than seek justice. Texas Law Shield is a firearms legal defense program dedicated to protecting legal gun owners. We offer comprehensive criminal and civil coverage with our 24/7 emergency hotline. Texas Law Shield completes your armed self-defense plan. To become a member, visit TexasLawShield.com.
It's time to utilize your Second Amendment right. No better way than at Knob Creek Gun Range. Check out the large variety with over 3,000 guns in stock. Also, reloading supplies, ammunition, and low admission. Only $10 per person per day. $5 for children 12 and under. And 50% off for active duty and retired military with valid ID. If you don't own any firearms, no problem. You can rent one of ours. Knob Creek Gun Range supplies all your shooting needs. Go to KnobCreekRange.com for more information. Range memberships are available. Visit KnobCreekRange.com today.
Whew, nice shoot. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yeah, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead. Pull the trigger.
World-renowned physician and stem cell expert Dr. David Steenblok, D.O., and his research staff have spent years developing all-natural formulations that support the body's own stem cell production and mobilization system. An everyday stem cell supplement, creating the birth of Stemgevity. Stemgevity stem cell mobilization formula is for use by men, women, and children of all ages to support your body's stem cell system naturally, quickly, and safely. Stemgevity helps support your heart and circulatory system, bones and joints, liver, skin, brain, and much more. Order your bottle now at Stemgevity.com today. That's Stemgevity. Stemgevity.com. Or call now toll-free, 800-300-1063. Buy two bottles and receive a third bottle free by mentioning RBN. Anyone who wants to get healthy needs Stemgevity. Call 800-300-1063 today.
Recognizing that America's most valuable resource is in their care, PNW Arms has forever changed the face of weapons science. Relentlessly pursuing research and development, PNW Arms is driven by exactitude. They have applied their collaborative skills, advancing ballistic science to a degree unimagined, both in existing ammunition potential and in creations yet to come. To find out more, go to PNWArms.com. At PNW Arms, their mission is nothing less than to change the face of the shooting industry forever.
Gun grabbers, do you feel the pain?
And welcome back on a Tuesday. This is Lock and Load, the number to get in, 1-800-313-9443. Talking about the modern police operator, the tactical police operator. And we just got into MRAPs. Now, you understand that the MRAP is also an inanimate object. It is just like a gun. It has no moral compass. If it's used for evil, it is part of creating evil. If it's used correctly, it is a great tool. And the other thing the MRAP is not a tank. Now, if an MRAP crests the hill and is headed my way, I know a couple of things about the MRAP. One, in order to be effective, it's going to have to stop and people are going to have to get out of it. Can't do too much about them. While they're in motion and everybody's inside of them. But eventually they're going to have to stop and get out of the MRAP. Okay? Now, if an M1A1 tank crests the hill, this is an entirely different story. Now, this is truly a tank. And remember, the Bradley fighting vehicle is not a tank. 113, the 577, those are not tanks. These are all vehicles with a modicum. The Bradley is a little bit better armored. But when M1A1 is coming across the hill, now you are really in a pickle. Because this is the heavy metal, and you're in their playground because there is nothing a tank can't go through or over. The M1A1 can resist a nuclear attack. They can, to a certain degree, a biological, a chemical attack to a high degree. these are bad boys. But these are not MRAPs. An MRAP is as much of a tank as a motorized skateboard is a Harley. If you want to see what an MRAP can do against a tank, put one head-to-head with one and watch what happens. The other thing that we need to do is, you know, as far as the MRAP is concerned, you know, we mock people to get out of there and say, AR-15s are ghost guns, and they fire 30 magazine clips per half second. If we're going to talk about MRAPs, let's say police don't need MRAPs. Instead of police don't need tanks, we're sort of semantically going off course there. In the right situation for the police, an MRAP can be a very useful tool. If they'd had these in the North Hollywood shootout, there'd be less dead good people. You remember where the LAPD had to borrow AR-15s and use civilian armored cars to evacuate casualties? If you're one of those casualties, an MRAP rolling up to pick you up can be a very welcome sight. What about the Webster, New York firefighter ambush? It would have been nice to have one of those things there to roll up and get those firefighters. But that, as it was, the incident lasted hours and officers had to use an armored car for evacuations. And you had a homicidal arsonist with an AR-15 that was straw purchased for him, sniping at firefighters and cops. It would have been nice to have an MRAP laying around when you're trying to retrieve your buddy, whether you're a firefighter or a police officer. It's sort of nice to not get shot while you're trying to pick somebody up and save their life. Firefighters in particular, you know, they go somewhere with no weapons, rush into the craziest places. Nobody understands that, but that's what they do. And it's not anything new for police to have armored vehicles. Going back to the 50s, World War II surplus has been in heavy use with police departments. If you Google police armored vehicles, you will see plenty of MRAPs, but you also see old military surplus vehicles used by police departments long ago. Right now in Richland County, South Carolina, they don't have MRAPs, they have M113s, which is sort of funny because in the military we refer to them as coffins, but, you know, they don't know that. M113s is actually a false sense of security to be riding around one of those because they have an aluminum hull that you can really literally take your keychain and beat that against the hull of those vehicles and leave little dents in it. So a 7.62 by 51 will punch in it and then bounce around inside of it. They're not really armored. You don't want to be run over by one, to be sure. Just as military rifles have been in civilian hands for centuries, military vehicles have been in police hands for decades. Military rifles don't jump up and commit massacres, and MRAPs are not going to spread tyranny on their own. They may enable it. Time will tell. They can be used for the wrong purpose, but so can the police can use their pistols and batons and radios for the wrong purpose. So the solution isn't to get rid of the equipment, is to make sure the equipment is used properly. Now, make no mistake, nobody in their right mind wants to see an MRAP smashing through a front door to serve a no garage sale permit warrant. Okay? But what about an innocent victim who's bleeding out in front of a house where a lunatic is firing upon the people trying to retrieve that wounded person? If you could roll the MRAP up and be behind it, you can retrieve the wounded person and keep him from getting more wounded and possibly save his life and keep from having your personnel wounded as well. So here's an idea for making sure policemen don't get MRAP on the brain and convince themselves that they're operators instead of cops. And it's not going to fix everything, but it is a start. We can start by getting every police officer in America to put their hand on their badge and say these words: I'm not an operator. If I ever work for a phone company, I'll be an operator. Until then, I'm a cop. When a bad guy is hurting good guys, it is my job to stop the bad guy as quickly as possible. My plan is to rush back to the station, strap on every piece of gear I bought at Army Surplus, climb into an MRAP, and show up at the crime scene an hour later. My plan sucks. I fight crime with the tools on my belt and with whatever I can grab from my trunk and put into action within 30 seconds. If I need an MRAP and Delta Force uniform to handle every problem, I'm the wrong guy for this job. When a situation is so dangerous my fellow officers and I can't handle it, we call those MRAPs and the guys with the cool gear. But that's the only time. I want to see the MRAPs and the cool gear. The rest of the time I want to stay at the station, available but not in everyone's face. Police officers, we need to respect you. We need to look up to you. You need to be held to a higher standard. If you just heard this, spread that word. Police tactical teams are great to have around when something hits the fan, except they're used most times when there's not even a fan anywhere in the room. MRAPs are great when there are rounds flying around and lives are in danger, but don't call yourselves operators. I've worked with real operators. You wouldn't stand up for 5 minutes in their face. Trust me. Not 5 minutes. As a matter of fact, 5 minutes is probably more than you would stand up. You don't need to gear up for out-and-out combat at the drop of a hat, and you don't need to show your shiny new MRAP just because you have them. Save them for what they're needed for. Put all of that junk away. Train with it, keep it ready, but only bring it out when it's really needed. Until then, be a regular police officer. Wear a regular uniform. Drive a regular car. Protect regular people from regular old bad guys. That's what we need you to do. We need to look up to you for doing that. That's something you can do and be proud of yourselves, and your community is proud of you as well. We need to respect law enforcement. I have said many times, and I really do believe this, the purview of overall law and order exists with the citizen because we're all law-abiding. In those instances where the anomaly in the society, which is a criminal, shows up, the police, that is their job to deal with it. Most likely 20 to 30 times more often than not, it's going to be a civilian that has to deal with it. But you don't have to throw on the plate carrier, the ballistic helmet. It's going to take you longer to suit up than it is going to take you to resolve the issue if you get to the issue in the right amount of time. What we saw in Watertown, Massachusetts, that was the biggest amount. That was just huge overkill. Huge overkill. Somehow or other, in Watertown, they searched everywhere but where that kid was in that boat. They threw everybody out of their house, did sweeps of the house, you know, guns up and everything else, and they forgot to search the boat. They searched everything else. How'd that happen? They were too busy posing with the MRAP. We'll be right back on a Tuesday. This is Lock and Load.
Keenly aware of the similarity between tactical and competitive training, the Shooter Source fuses the two worlds together. Their product line is based on speed of movement, and the Shooter Source caters to both the three-gun competitor and the tactical operator. The Shooter Source specializes in the cutting-edge tools for any shooter of any discipline. See them on the range or online. Find out how at theshootersource.com. The Shooter Source, one philosophy encompassing all.
Whew. Nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com.
tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead. Pull the trigger.
Coming from Blue Force Gear, the same thing they did with weapon slings. Blue Force Gear has revolutionized the Molly Load Carriage with the Helium Whisper attachment system. Pouches built with Helium Whisper technology are fully Molly compatible and are lighter, thinner, and more durable than current issue equivalents. Lighter gear enables you to move faster with less bulk, ensuring that you will survive to fight another day. Find ultralight gear with the revolutionary Helium Whisper attachment system at BlueForceGear.com.
A suppressed medical breakthrough guarantees anyone total health power with a simple device. That sounds impossible, doesn't it? In fact, it sounds like snake oil. How is it that something so simple could make such a profound change and isn't headline-making news? What if I told you it was? What if I told you in March of 1991 the news was groundbreaking? If you're like most people, you're wondering if this is true. We'll show you why your doctor hasn't told you about this. Go to drbeckprotocol.com or call 928-853-2821.
Salient Arms International. Salient Arms takes your weapons platform and refines the most important functioning features, enhancing your weapon's reliability. An SAI enhanced platform is the epitome of excellence and will dominate competition, self-defense, or combat. Visually striking and engineered to its fullest potential, discover the SAI commitment to excellence. To find out more, go to SalientArmsInternational.com. Salient Arms International. Innovation Cube.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureEffect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology. All while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureEffect Ultra today by visiting PureEffectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureEffectFilters.com.
Ceramic body armor is rated to stop 6 hits. But what about the 7th? Unlike ceramic or Kevlar, Infidel body armor is proven to take hit after hit, and it just won't quit. Reasonably priced and designed for the smart civilian prepper, Infidel stops hundreds of hits from small arms to high-powered rifles. That means safety and peace of mind. Buy yours at InfidelBodyArmor.com. Spelled I-N-F-I-D-E-L BodyArmor.com. Infidel body armor just won't quit.
Bill Frady, Bald and Dangerous.
And welcome back as we get ready to flip into the second hour. On a Tuesday, this is Lock and Load. The number to get in, 1-800-313-9443. There's a lady out there. Her name is Amanda Marcotte. She wrote a little article. Guns are like, and I'm not going to use the term, they're like a toy in the drawer. Use your imagination, please. She argued that American gun owners don't need guns because they don't need guns. The odds of needing a firearm for self-defense are so low, anyone who exercises their natural, civil, and constitutionally protected right to keep and bear arms is paranoid or worse. The odds of needing a fire extinguisher in your house are also low, but people have them because the cost of not having one when you need one is pretty high. Same thing with guns, and there's no getting around the fact. Period. Amanda. Bad things do happen to good people. People minding their own business in places where you wouldn't expect evil to appear. What do you think the odds are that a Latina with a crowbar would target people of Asian descent in a Walmart, for example? Those have got to be pretty long odds, haven't they, Amanda? Well, let's talk about this LATimes.com story of an attack on an Asian family shopping in the San Jose Walmart. Short story shorter, a woman named Maria Garate smuggled a crowbar into the store, approached the family, and hit a four-year-old girl who was sitting in the shopping cart in the head with the crowbar. When she tried to swing at the child again, the father stepped in to take that shot, and then he got beaten with a crowbar. Bystanders jumped on Ms. Garate, preventing further injury. The child survived the attack with non-life-threatening injuries. The DA said Garate targeted the family because they're Asian. She told investigators she was upset that the child did not die. And Ms. Marcotte wonders why anyone would carry a gun for self-defense. Anti-gunners will no doubt argue that a self-defense firearm would not have changed the outcome. And given the element of surprise, neither parent could have drawn a firearm from concealment before the initial strike. Even if they had, it wouldn't have stopped the initial blow. But that's hardly the whole story. A person that carries a gun for self-defense has a heightened state of awareness simply because they got the gun on. They're aware they've got the gun on. So they're aware that people might be looking at the gun. So they're looking at people to see if they're looking at the gun, no matter who they are, no matter where they are. When I carry a gun, I'm mindful of bending over, for example. I'm mindful of raising my arms. And when I do this, I'm looking around at everybody just to see what they might have seen. Extra awareness on the part of this Asian couple might have given them enough time to prevent the original blow by moving out of the way, grabbing something and striking her with it from a shelf. You know, Walmarts have all kinds of things on the shelf. Maybe while one's hitting somebody, hitting Ms. Garate with the shelf item, the other one's drawing a weapon, giving her a chance to lay down the crowbar, and then barring that, shooting her, since she did want to kill the child with the crowbar. This is all pure conjecture based on supposition without any statistical evidence. But there are lots of ways that this could have played out. What if the father hadn't been able to intervene? What if he hadn't been there? What if Garate had killed the father with her first blow, then turned to murder his child? This is not to say that the mother couldn't or wouldn't have been able to defend the four-year-old, but how? How do you stop someone from trying to kill your child with a crowbar in Walmart? Easy answer, shoot them. Why not? Somebody tries to kill one of my children, they're going to be shot a lot. And often, and effectively. Is there a more effective method of self-defense that anybody else knows of that I don't know? Maybe. Perhaps. Maybe not. It all depends upon the situation. But if shooting an attacker or attackers is the best solution, then one thing you're definitely going to need to bring with you in that predicament is a gun. Which Ms. Marcotte doesn't think anyone needs, even if someone does. Because that someone isn't likely to be her or you, unless it is. And then what? Now, if you live in San Jose and you can't get permission to carry, or if you live somewhere else where you can carry and choose not to, you can do what you can with the tools you have without the one tool that gives you the best chance of survival. Good luck with that. Now, I came upon this purely by chance. And actually, I should have talked about this right after I talked about the police operator, okay? And this talks to this mindset that some of these guys have that they're in combat, all right? There's a guy, he's my age. He suffers from Parkinson's disease. He's filed a federal lawsuit claiming he was brutally pummeled by a SWAT team after a relative made false harassment allegations against him. In Pottawatomie County, Iowa. And he's not in the chat room right now. Population 92,913. When this harassment complaint came in, instead of speaking with a retaliatory relative, the sheriff's department sent a SWAT team of a dozen people to the home of John Heitrich. He was working on a tractor in his driveway when the heavily armed cops jumped out of a van. He had previously warned the relative, who sports a prior conviction for uttering false statements, to leave his property. Heitrich told KMTV, "They ran at me with machine guns, and I look at them and I'm like, what?" The horde of SWAT members tackled the 52-year-old Parkinson sufferer. His face slammed on a tire machine. The police officers punched him in the head at least 5 times. Heitrich told the station, "I did not resist them, nothing. They could have come up to me and asked me what was going on, and they didn't." They also positioned a sniper across the street to monitor the situation in case the case the 52-year-old. Why would you put a word like that in there for a 52-year-old? That's 27 syllables. With a degenerative disorder of the central nervous system, if, you know, they had a sniper in case he tried to go squirrely. As a result of that melee, he suffered some very serious injuries. So serious they had to send him to the hospital before he could go to jail. He fractured his eye socket. He had a concussion, multiple cuts. After he was in prison, they had him taken back to the hospital because he wasn't healing. In a deposition for the case, an unidentified deputy told Heitrich's attorney that he hadn't threatened the SWAT team in any way. However, the SWAT team members were concerned that he might brandish the hammer he happened to be holding as a weapon. And the EMTs on the scene also recorded this with their camera phones. Now he's seeking payment of his medical bills and other damages, and a judge dismissed the false charges against him for harassment and assault in November 2012, and the sheriff's department is not commenting on the lawsuit. Tactical police operators. Gotta love them, don't you? I do. I know you do. I know I do. But now that I'm working out again, now I'm going to be in a quandary because I work out with some police officers here in my hometown. And I outweigh most of them by about, 80 pounds. I hope they remember me if anybody ever calls in a false charge on me. I hope they, if it takes two or three of them to put me on the ground, I hope I don't get tased, brah. I haven't been tased yet. I'm not looking forward to ever being tased. It is not on my bucket list. Please take notes. We'll be right back as we go into the third hour on a Tuesday. This is Lock and Load.